Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Knier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. Thank you for listening today. So on today's show, I have a really special guest. I have District Attorney A.G. Howell. Good morning, District Attorney.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
And you also go by D.A. Howell, right? Or A.G., many names, right?
Please just call me A.G.
Okay. Thank you. And, you know, I want to thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I know your life is very busy with working, family, and everything like that. But, you know, lately in the news, we hear a lot about fraud or more so scams or schemes. And, you know, while I was thinking of shows to do, I thought this was really interesting because more and more I hear people close to me, they're like, oh my goodness, this almost happened to me. And November 13th through November 19th is actually International Fraud Week. What better guest than you, A.G.? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carol. Part of my job as DA is to help inform the community about certain schemes or scams or any type of potential crime so we can avoid it. And that's why I'm happy to be here.
Right. So, you know, as a district attorney, that's an elected position, correct? What does a DA do?
Okay. Well, a DA is a public official. Most DAs in Pennsylvania are elected every 4 years. We are the chief law enforcement officer involved with investigating and prosecuting crimes in our county. There are 67 district attorneys in Pennsylvania. I am proud to be one of them. And a day-to-day basis, my job involves catching up on investigations or getting up to dates on investigations and then prosecuting charges that have been filed. And that is what I do on a day-to-day basis. I don't want to bore anybody with getting into the nitty-gritty of paperwork and administrative work, but that's what our office does.
Right. And you say office because you have a team of people that work with you, right?
Absolutely. It is not just myself. We have a great team here in Wayne County, consisting of 5 assistant district attorneys. We also have 5 detectives. We have our chief clerk, and we have 3 administrative staff, and we have a victim witness coordinator. And we all work together in investigating and prosecuting crimes and also helping the community in ways like this to get out and talk about what our office does and to definitely help victims of crimes too.
Right. And, you know, again, you know, coming back to our topic, you know, on fraud, you know, we're seeing and hearing more and more about people being scammed, you know, in the media. So, you know, can you tell our listeners, like, what is the definition of fraud or scamming?
Well, the general definition is a wrongful or criminal deception for financial gain or personal gain. There are just a lot of unscrupulous people, businesses, organizations, some more formal than others, that seek to defraud so many people of billions of dollars every year. And we all have labels for these, from fraud to financial exploitation, financial abuse, scammers, schemers, an old term, shysters. And in the DA's world, it's just plain crime.
Right. It's illegal activities. No way, you know, whatever title you want to put on that. You know, we know there's many different types of frauds and scams. You know, one or two of them, actually, I would really like to talk to. Of course, you know, this is a health work show, so we'd like to talk about things about medical. But there is medical fraud that's out there, correct?
There's... any type of business or assistance in the community, there's fraud and schemes involved. I've been approached with schemes of a relative is stuck in jail and they need bail money. A friend who gets phone calls that you've just won a car, send us some advance money and we'll send you the car.
Mm-hmm.
things like that.
Yeah, and I've actually, unfortunately, I have friends that were reached out, you know, through email from someone they thought they knew and was like, I need you to buy gift cards, and can you send me all the codes? And unfortunately, she fell for that, which is scary.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, I tell my family, especially my mother-in-law and, you know, my kids, is you need to know who you're talking to, correct?
Yes, know who you're talking to, know what information you're giving out to the people you're talking to. Those are the ones that you just talked about that really get people when you're tugging at their heartstrings. Mm-hmm. Someone you know is in trouble. We've all gotten the classic emails, I'm stuck overseas, I've lost all my wallet, my cards, my phone, can you wire me some money? I need help. And then, thank goodness in our close-knit community, the person who's sending their hacked email that's coming from, they say, I've been hacked, I'm okay, forget mm-hmm. about it.
Right.
We've all gotten those. Mm-hmm.
Now, but I know, you know, in our medical community, you know, we've heard about, you know, physicians billing incorrectly. But also, you know, recently we've had some of our patients contacted, not by office staff, asking them for medical information like, oh, we need your Social Security, we need your, you know, medical insurance number and things like that. What do you suggest people do or how do I handle that?
If they're getting a call from someone they don't know and they're claiming to be from a medical facility, say Way Memorial Hospital, they should call Way Memorial Hospital. They shouldn't make a snap judgment and start giving out information. Don't be pressured into be given information. And that does happen, that they'll ask for your name, address, Social Security number, date of birth, so they can update their billing. And then the next thing, they're submitting bills to your organization, the hospital, so it'll get paid. And those are just bogus bills.
Right, right. And again, you know, working in the hospital and the medical field, we have your information. And again, if we wouldn't be calling you, you know, you could request to speak to someone else or, you know, call back the main number of the hospital and speak to somebody in charge.
Right, right. Because all of these schemes, they're looking for money and there's no urgency in any of these scenarios that they raise to you. So it's good to slow down. Talk to the organization or talk to someone you trust, a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, and say, hey, what do you think? I had a relative do that too, and another relative was supposedly out in Ohio and got in an accident, but she couldn't talk right because she had marbles, but it's like she had marbles in her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But then someone got on the phone and said, I'm her public defender. You need to send money to bail her out of jail. My first question back when I was approached with this was, well, have you called her to see if she's okay?
Right.
And she said, no. So I said, well, let's give her a call. Said,
mm-hmm.
said, hey, how are you doing? She said, I'm fine. I'm in my dorm room. I'm at college. We're like, oh, okay. You're great.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be ashamed to reach out for help or just to say, hey, what do you think?
Right.
Because that's sometimes with a lot of these schemes is, our own pride gets in the way and we don't want to be embarrassed or, mm-hmm. or somehow feel like we're not worthy enough
right.
to reach out for help, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that scammers and, you know, people who want to get information kind of push that person and make it sound like it's an emergency and it's a rush?
Absolutely. And that's one of their classic routines is to really push you. You might say, hey, can I go talk to my attorney about this? They'll be like, oh, you don't need your attorney. Just give us your information and we'll take care of it for you. Don't fall for that.
Right.
Slow down.
Mm-hmm. Should be a red flag, right? When
absolutely.
They start asking you, when you want to protect yourself and they're like, no, you don't need to. That's a red flag, right?
Yep. Red flags. And there's red flags all over the place.
So what are some tips that you could, you know, suggest for people to avoiding healthcare fraud?
Well, like with healthcare fraud, your information is golden. Protect it like it's your credit card. We protect our credit cards so much. Protect your healthcare information, your if you have health insurance, your policy number, your own name, your own social security number, protect it so other people can't get it. If someone is asking for it, call up your pharmacy, call up your doctor's office and say, I just got a call from so-and-so looking for my information. Is this accurate? Most of the time they'll tell you, nope, you're getting involved in a scheme, you're okay. Beware of free services. When the same thing, they're going to look for your information and then they'll take it and they'll claim you give us your information and you're going to get some free services. You'll get your deductibles taken care of, or healthcare remedies fall under this category. The super pill or the super vitamin. those can be schemes too. So you have to be aware of the free services. Another way to help prevent scams is check your explanation of benefits. Make sure that when you get something in the mail, or if you get your updates by email, check them to see if they're accurate, that you did get some service on a certain date. It's just like checking your bank accounts or your credit card accounts. Those are good tips for across the board with elder scams, healthcare, mortgages, the investment scams. Check your information.
Right. And, you know, oftentimes, again, if you get that phone call for the so-called, you know, if it's a scammer from an insurance company, you can always say, listen, I'm going to look into this. I'll call you back. And then you pick up your medical card and you call that number on the back. That's the safe number that you want to call. Correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is so important. You know, we have only about 3 minutes left. What about elder fraud? We do hear a lot about that. Which is really, you know, what are some of the examples briefly that you can talk about with them?
Elder fraud, we have all what we've been talking about, but also there's forgery of maybe their prescriptions. Someone might be trying to get their prescriptions to sell their medications. You have some like diversion scams by taking the prescription itself and selling it. Doctor shopping is another one, either for an individual or if someone's supposedly caring for somebody who's elderly, is going around to different doctors to get more than one prescription of drugs. Mm-hmm. Misuse of authority. Someone might have a power of attorney and be misusing funds or their authority over the person. And things to look for elder abuse is how's the person's health been? Has there been some odd transfers in bank accounts? Have there been some large transfers? Are they signing over assets to somebody? Those are things to look for with elder scams, elder abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it happens in this day and age. You know, if someone feels that they've, you know, came across a fraud or being schemed, can they call, like, the DA's office or the aging office? Who should they call to report this?
I would say call anyone that you trust and feel that you can talk to them to let them know of something that might be going on, which is, you can trust the aging office. You can trust calling the DA's office. We'll transfer you to a detective. The Pennsylvania State Police are very involved in our community. The local police departments, Honesdale, Hawley, Waymart, Lehigh, you can call them. You can get in contact with the State Department of Aging. The Federal Trade Commission has access to reporting complaints. So there is a lot of help out there. All you have to do is reach out, and we will do our best to help you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, which is so important. You know, we only have a couple of seconds left. What would be your biggest tip and recommendations for anyone listening that does not want to be scammed or fraud?
Well, I'm going to steal something that you and I talked about before we started, was know who you're talking to, know who you're communicating with, either by email, text, phone call. That's the number one way to prevent any kind of scheme or fraud, is know who you're talking to.
Right. And if you want to double check and call that person and actually speak to them, that's probably a really good thing too, correct?
Absolutely. If you get that phone call and there's that 5-second pause and they say, "Hello, this is Liam," you know that something's coming down the road that's a scam.
Right, right.
Especially if your name's not Liam.
Right. Well, you know, AJ, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really, really appreciate it.
I loved being here, and I'd be happy to come back.
Oh, you will be.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Again, this is Carol Kinnear, Community Health Manager. I want to thank you for listening, and have a great day.